Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Tes. And we're in the middle of a machlokis over here, which began yesterday. We talked about a bell that lost its clangor. You took out its clangor. Nevertheless, it's still makabel tumah. So we had a machlokis as to why that should be the case. So the first opinion, which was Rava's opinion, which is also the opinion Itmar Nami, Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, so he said it's makabel tumah because you still can make noise with it. It still could be used to bang on a pot. So even though the clangor is taken out of it, it doesn't function as the bell. You could still bang this bell on some other utensil and make noise with it. So in other words, it still makes noise. That was the opinion of Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. We'll call it his opinion. And Rav Yochanan disagreed. Rav Yochanan said, no, it doesn't have to still make noise. The fact that it can be used as a utensil, for example, to drink water from. However, Roy Legamea Bomayim Latino, a child could use it as a cup. So therefore, it's still called the utensil. And that's why even though you took out the clangor, according to Rav Yochanan, it doesn't have to function in any way making noise. It doesn't have to make any sort of a sound. But as long as it functions in some way as a utensil, it's perfectly still called the kli, and it's makabel tumah. That's the machlokas we ended off with yesterday's shir. But that implies that Rav Yochanan's opinion is it doesn't have to have a ke'ein melacha like it had originally. And the Gemara is now going to question that. We'll spend the first part of the shir saying Rav Yochanan, in fact, holds that something, if it's going to retain its status of being makabel tumah, has to still be a kli in a way like it was originally. Not that it functions as a different type of a kli, but it has to have some sort of a resemblance to the original functionality. And that's where the Gemara starts, four lines from the top, Nun Tes Omud Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, lo boy me'ein melacha rishona. Rav Yochanan doesn't require you to go and have the kli still functioning in some way like it was originally. V'hatanya, we learned in a brisa, Gemara in Chagig, and also Nida. This brisa is brought down over there, and it says, Beferish. The pasuk is quoted. Now it should be V'chol Hakli Asher Yeshev Olov Gomer. We'll see Rashi says that the pasuk that is quoted here in the Bach, when it's quoted in a moment later, also they change around to this pasuk that I just said. V'chol Hakli Asher Yeshev Olov Gomer. So you might have thought that in order for something to be metami tumas medris is when a person who has a intrinsic tum in their body, like a zav or a zava, if they sit on something, so that item becomes an avatuma. That's called tumas medris. So if they sit on a chair, the chair has the status of being an avatuma. It doesn't become a rishon. Like if a tumah mace touches something, it becomes a rishon. Here, with tumah that comes out of the body, like a zava or a zava, so that type of a tumah makes something that you sit on or lean on or supported by called tumas medris, and that becomes an ava tumah. So the pasuk tells us over here, v'chol ha'kli ha'shiyesh v'lov, if you're sitting on a kli, it becomes tumas medris. Now, I might have thought, the Gemara says, the Braisa continues, yachol, kofa saw. If you were to take a barrel that contains a saw in it, a certain type of a volume, a certain size barrel, and you would turn it upside down, so now you can sit on it. The yashavaleh. Or alternately, kofa tarkav. Tarkav is a nutricone. It's an abbreviation for trei ukav. It means two and one. So in other words, it's three kavs. And therefore, it is a half of a saw. There's six kav in a saw. In any event, this smaller but still large barrel could be sat upon if you turned it upside down. So now you're not sitting on the top part, you're sitting on the bottom part, which is solid. And therefore, if you turn over this saw barrel or this tarkav barrel, these utensils, the yashav oleh, and you sat on it. Now, if a zav or a zavar or a person who has the intrinsic body tumah, and they sit on something, it makes it into a medrash. So I would have said that they turn over this saw or tarkav type of a utensil and they sit on it. Yay, Tommy, that should also become makabel tumah of tumas medrash. So the pasuk tells us, no, it doesn't. Talmud Lomar, and here again the Bach and the Rashi say that the pasuk should be the chol hakli asher yeshiv alav, and the word hazav is not in this pasuk, so we would delete that. So the pasuk tells us over here, Rashi says asher yeshiv alav in the future tense that he will sit on it, and we learn out a very important din over here. It has to be a kli in order to be makabel tumas medrash. It has to be the type of a kli mishem yuchod li yeshiva. It has to be something that is permanently used for sitting, like a chair. But these barrels, this saw, this tarkav, they're not permanently used for sitting. They're used to contain the stuff in the barrel. You put wine in there, you put grapes in there, you put whatever you're putting inside in these barrels. So therefore, they're not permanently used. So the terminology, asher yeshiv alav, means now and in the future. But these are the types of of chairs, this saw and tarkav, that are only temporary chairs. So the pasuk tells us, Misha miyuchad li yeshiva, if it's something that is designated for yeshiva now and in the future, that's the only type that's makabel tumas medrash. As opposed to this saw or tarkav, yotzazeh, they're excluded from the din of tumas medrash because sha'omu lo amod v'nasim alachtenu. Because at some point in time, you're going to say, I need my barrel back to put my wine into it. And therefore, you're going to stop it from being a chair and you're going to use it again as a barrel to store wine. So the saw, the tarkav, are not permanent chairs. They're temporary chairs. And a temporary chair doesn't get tumas medrash. That is what the Braisa tells us. Now, this is talking about Tumas Medrash. So, Rabbi Elazar comments on this Braisa. Rabbi Elazar is an Amora, so he really isn't an author of this Braisa or a participant in the Braisa. He's now explaining the Braisa. So, Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'medrosos Omrim, Amol Denasim Lachtenu. In regards to this concept of Medrash, if it's something that can we say, Amod, get off it, and let us use this as its original purpose, so get off this saw or tarkav barrel so we can use it to store wine. So then, if it's that type of a thing, that's applicable by Tumas Medrash. However, the Ein Omrim B'Tomei Meis, Amod V'Nasim Lachtenu. But in regards to Tumas Meis, we don't have this rule. In Tumas Meis, if you touch it, it becomes Tomei, regardless of whether you say Amod V'Nasim Lachtenu. This is a unique din that's only applicable to Tumas Medrash. And Rashi points out the two applications of it. Number one, to get the Tumah in the first place, it can be Makabel the Tumah. And if it did get the Tumah, if you want to remove the Tumah by destroying the utensil and making it no longer functional, it still has to be functional in the way it originally was. So in this regard, Rabbi Elazar would say that this din only applies to Tumas Medrash, but it doesn't apply to Tumas Meis. So in regards to Tumas Medrash, if you remove it from its original functionality, so then it loses its Tumas Medrash status. Along comes Rav Yochanan. The Rav Yochanan Amar, Af Omer B'Tomei Meis, Amo V'Nasim Lachtenu. He says even something that's not Medrash, even just Tumas Meis, he applies the same din over here and says it loses its functionality as a kli if it's no longer functioning in the same way. So this barrel over here would lose its Tumas status in this situation because it's no longer functioning as the chair. It's now functioning as a container. So therefore, what do we clearly see? That Rav Yochanan requires something to be functioning like its original functionality. Ke'me'ein melacha rishona. So we have a kasha. In this situation, he says that it must still retain some of its original functionality. If it loses that functionality, so then it's no longer makabel tumah. So how come in the case of the inbal, so when we took out the clangor from the bell, Rabbi Yochanan said, well, as long as it's able to be used as a cup, it's still considered a kli. But it's not functioning as a musical instrument or making noise type of an instrument. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, if it's not functioning like it originally did, it loses its status as a kli. So we have a stira between Rabbi Yochanan in regards to the inbal, when the clangor is removed, it's still called the kli according to Rav Yochanan, even though it's not functioning at all, making musical instruments, not making any noise. It's just legamei b'mayim latinok. And over here, what we said, the Rav Yochanan holds, if it doesn't have any functionality, ke'ein melacha rishona, it doesn't have the status of tumah. So there seems to be a stira within Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara says, epoch kamaisa. So flip around the first thing that we said in today's shiur, from yesterday's shiur, the machlokas of Yosef Ruchanina versus Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yosef Ruchanina said, the reason why the clangor, if it's removed, the bell is still tummy. Rav Yosef Ruchanina originally said, hold the royal hakish al gabi cheretz, because it still could make noise. No, say that that was Rav Yochanan's opinion. And the opinion that we attributed to Rav Yochanan, that it could still be used to drink water as a cup for a child, that in fact wasn't Rav Yochanan's opinion, that was Rav Yosef Ruchanina's opinion. And now Rav Yochanan is in accord. He says each time it must be me'ein mlacha rishona. So where it says, why did you flip around that one? Umaychoz is the afchis kamaisa, epoch wasraisa. Why did you flip around yesterday's shia? Why did you flip around what we learned at the beginning of today's shia, the opinions of the bell, the clangor removed, Rav Yosef Ruchanina and Rav Yochanan, you flipped their shitas around, and you left the braisa, Rabbi Elazar and Rav Yochanan the way it was. Why don't you flip around Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan and the braisa? And then it would be in accord with the original way that we learned, Rav Yosef Ruchanina and Rav Yochanan. Gemara says, no, we didn't do that. We flipped around the first opinions, Rav Yosef Chanina and Rav Yochanan, and after second opinions, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, because Hashamina lay, the Rav Yochanan, the boy may Melacha Rishona, because we have a second source that says that Rav Yochanan's opinion is that you must have Me'ain Melacha Rishona. So it's two against one. So in this situation, it pays to flip around the one. The original Machlok, Rav Yosef Chanina and Rav Yochanan, change that one around, because not only do we have the scenario over here with the saw and the Tarkav, but we have another one. And that is, now the Gersa that we have is the Tanya, but on the side it says it's really a Mishnah and Kalim, and it should be Ditznan. When we use a Mishnah, we say Ditznan. We have a Brisa, we say Ditanya. And what is that? You have Sandal Shel Behema. The Gersa that we have is Sandal Shel Behema Shel Matechas. You have a horse shoe. You have a metal horse shoe, which has a hollow part inside of it. The shoe is placed on the foot of the animal, but there's a hollow part inside of it. And when this shoe comes off, nevertheless, it retains its status of being a utensil. It's tame. It's capable of being kabel tuma. Now, that's the girsa that we have. Tosas has a second girsa and says it's talking about two different things over here. Sandal shel behema, and then it says sandal shel matres, that a person who works with lime works with. He wears some sort of a special shoe that he doesn't destroy his clothing with the lime. It's acidic and it would burn through his clothing, so his shoe, so they wears a special type of a metal shoe. In any event, let's just leave the gear so that we have over here in our Gemara, Sandal Shel Behema Shel Matechas. So this horse shoe, even though it's not on the horse, it still is makabel tuma as a kli. It still retains its status as being a kli. Gemara says, L'mai chazi, what value does this horseshoe off the shoes, off the horse's foot have? Some Rav tells us, Roy Lishtos B'mayim, the Milchoma. As I said, it has a hollow part in it, and if the guy is in the war and they need water and he doesn't have a cup, so he'll take the horseshoe off the horse and he'll use it to drink water. So therefore, it retains its status as a kli, even nothing to do with the horse. Rav Chanina Omar, Roy Losoch Bo Shem and B'Milchoma. Rav Chanina says, you're not going to drink from it, but you could put oil in it and use it as a repository for oil and anoint yourself with it. And the third opinion of Yochanan Amar, Bishor Sheboreach Minakrav, Minicho Biraglov Virots Al Kotzi Vial Habarkanim. In order for it still to be retained its status as a kli, Rav Yochanan says it has to be somewhat functional, like the original purpose, which was to be used for walking or running. And he says, the soldier, if he has to run away from the battle, they're losing, whatever it may be, he's running, so he's going to put on this horseshoe on his foot, because he's going to be running over all sorts of thorns and thistles and sharp objects, and he needs something to protect his foot. So we have three reasons over here. The first two, Rabbi Chanina and Rav, they have nothing to do with the original functionality. And Rav Yochanan says it has to do with the original functionality. That's why it's still called the kli. This is the second source that we have that Rav Yochanan holds. You need me'ein melacha rishona. And therefore, it made sense to keep that opinion as being Rav Yochanan's opinion and flip around the original bell clanger missing to be the opinion of Rav Yochanan, and says that it has to be a kli, because you can still bang on it, because it's me'ein melacha rishon, it still makes noise, and it was Rav Yosef Chanina was really the one that said, ligamei bo mayim latino, he uses it as a cup. Fine, that solves our problem, but now we're just finishing off this mission that we brought down from Kalim. What exactly is the machlokas between Rav Chanina and Rav Yochanan? So the Gemara says, my bein Rav le Rav Chanina, what's the difference between Rav, who said you can drink water from this, it's a hollowed out horseshoe, and Rav Chanina says you wouldn't drink water from it, but you could put oil in it. So what's the difference between these two? So Gemara says, Ika benayu demois. It's disgusting. So a person's going to put this in his mouth. So Rav says, yeah, if you're in the battle, you're going to do this. And Rav Chanina says, there's no way you're going to drink from this. To anoint from it, you're putting it on your, smearing it on your leg. So what difference does it make if it's a little bit dirty? So therefore, that's the difference between the two of them, whether it's functional as a drinking. So Rav says, yes, Rav Chanina says no. And Rashi points out, by the way, Rav Yochanan would also say that if it's dirty, so that would not be a problem, because why wouldn't you wear a dirty horseshoe to run on? So according to Rav Yochanan as well, he would say the difference, he would hold like Rav in the sense that it would still be a kli, even if it was dirty. And Ika benayu demos. So therefore, the difference is between them if it's dirty. Bein Rav Yochanan l'Rav Chanina, what's the difference between the two of them? Ika benayu diyokir. If it was very heavy, Rashi says, kovet, vein oroi bol roch, and you can't wear it. It's just too heavy to wear in running away. So it still could be used for oil. So in that situation, Rav Chanina would say, it's still roi los with boshemet, b'muchama. But Rav Yochanan would say, if it was too heavy, that you can't run with it, and it wouldn't be a kli anymore in regards to Hilchos Tumah V'Tara. Fine. That concludes this beautiful little sugya, and we go back and quote the Mishnah, where it says, "V'lo be'ir shows off." You're not allowed to go and wear outside on Shabbos this ear shows off. My be'ir shows off. What exactly is this ear shows off? So Rabbi Rechana, on Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Rechana says the name of Yochanan, Yerushalayim de Dava. This is a golden Yerushalayim. This is Machlokas, Rashi and Tosas over here as to exactly what this is. It's not all on our Amud over here. It's found elsewhere in the Gemara, in Sota, and in the Gemara, Rashi says in the Darm, on the Omer Beis. So in any event, this Yerushalayim Shel Dava was either some sort of a clasp, that's what Rashi seems to say, or some sort of like a tiara or a crown, that's what Tosu seems to say over here. Tosu asks, if it's a crown, how come it's not included in the Gzeri that you're not allowed to wear Atarus Chasan and Vikalos? So he says that only applies at Chasana. It doesn't apply to Shar Bnei Adam. At Chasana, there's somehow this extra Simcha, which the rabbis minimized because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We should always remember that. And therefore, at Chasana, you can't wear it, but you can wear it at other times. In any event, this is Ir Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. So, and this was, by the way, the Gemara tells us, we turn to the Amud Beis, Kid Ovid Lei Rabbi Akiva Ludvisu. Rabbi Akiva made this for his holy wife, who... Rachel, who in the Gemara in the Darim tells us that she was willing to go and give up all the money that she had from her father in order to go and be Rabbi Kiva's wife, and they were in a very straw, very poor bed. There was a straw in her hair when they woke up in the morning, and Rabbi Kiva said, "No, someday I'm going to put Yerushalayim, this golden Yerushalayim ornament on you rather than having the straw in your hair." Okay, that's this Yerushal Zahav, this Yerushal Yerushalayim that we refer to via Yerushalayim the Dav. Fine. Tanya Rabban, Brisa brings down the following. It says, Lo Tzeitzei Isha be Yerushal Zahav. A woman is not allowed to go, the Brisa says, wearing this Yerushal Zahav on Shabbos. V'im Yatzasa, Chayevis Chatos. The Rameh says, if you go out with this, that's an Issa Daraisa of carrying. Why is it not jewelry? He says, this isn't jewelry. This is something that is used to brag about how rich you are. It would be the equivalent of a person walking out with an ingot of gold and putting it on his shoulder and saying, oh, you know, this is not jewelry. This is, I'm a very rich guy. So nobody wore this ear shows off as an ornament. They were basically using it to brag about how rich that they were, and therefore it's a masui. And therefore, Rebbe says, if you carry this on Shabbos, that's what you're doing. You're carrying, and you're chayvachatas. Chum disagree. Chum say, no, it's an ornament. Lo teitzei, but you don't go out with it, midirabbanan. Vim yatsa patura, but it's potter avalasa, but it means it's also midirabbanan, because we're concerned that you're going to take it off and show it to somebody. That's the opinion of the Chachon. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Omer yotsa isha bi'ir shozov l'chatchila. Not only is it not nisa deraisa, it's not even nisa derabbanan, and you're allowed to l'chatchila go wear this. Now, what's the disagreement over here? One says it's Nisa Daraisa, one says it's Nisa Darabana, one says it's Heter Gomer. But Michael Mifligi. So Rav Meir Savar Masuhu, as I pointed out, Rav Meir says this isn't one as an adornment. This is the bragging rights saying, I have a huge amount of gold, and look what I have. And therefore, you're not wearing it as an adornment, and it's therefore carrying it. It'd be no different than carrying $1,000 bill and saying, look what I got. For Rabbana Savri, no. Takshidu, it is a takshid. Come on, it's a piece of jewelry. However, Dilma Shofa, it's very, people say, wow, look at that. And we want to take a close look. The woman's going to take it off and show it to a friend, and show it to her. But Asya Lasuye Dalamas Rishas Rabbim. And she's going to forget and carry it, Dalamas Rishas Rabbim. She's going to bet it's Shabbos. And if the rabbi said, don't wear it on Shabbos because you're going to take it off and show it to somebody and maybe carry it. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, Hetu Gomer. Why? Sover. Who wears this type of a thing? Mandarka Lemefak Beir Shel Zov. Who goes out wearing such a very, very expensive ornament? Isha Chashuva, a very fancy woman. Isha Chashuva lo mshalfa umachvaya. A fancy woman doesn't take off her jewelry and show it to everybody. It's below her dignity to do so. The Queen of England wears the crown jewels, so she doesn't take it off. Hey, look what I got, look what I got, look what I got. That's not the way a very fancy woman does it. So if you're able to wear an ear shows off, Rabbi Eliezer says, you ain't taking it off. So therefore, it's heter gomer to wear it l'chatchila. That's the understanding of this three of machlokas. It's a masu, according to Rav Meir. It's a gzera, you're going to come take it off and carry it down l'amos. And Rabbi Eliezer says, that's a chacham's opinion. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, nobody's going to take this off. If you wear this, you're not the type of person to take it off and show it to somebody. Next, kalila. Kalila is something that you wear like a frontlet, Rashi says. You wear it on your forehead, and it's connected from one ear to the other ear, some sort of a band of gold and some other material. Now, We'll see in a moment, there's two types. One that's really a band of gold, and another one that's other material that has either gold or precious jewelry in it. So this Kalila, Rav is osar. The statement that we have is Rav says you can't wear this on Shabbos, and Shmuel Shari. Shmuel says you can wear it on Shabbos. Now, there's two types of Kalila over here, and we'll see two ways to understand this machlokas. The Anischa, if you're talking about a bar of gold, a frontlet over here of gold, so then kuli amalo pligi the also. Then even Shmuel would say you can't go out with that on Shabbos because you're certainly concerned. Everybody would be concerned, even Shmuel would be concerned. You're going to carry a dalet amos in Shusharabi. You're going to show it to somebody, and you're going to go and carry it. So kuli amalo pligi the also. If you're dealing with a nischa, a frontlet that's made out of a bar of gold. Ki plige, where Rav and Shmuel have their argument. Rav says it's still also, and Shmuel says it's permissible, is daruksa. What is this aruksa? So Rashi explains, this is the ritsua shemiyutsu eres bizov ubi avarim tovos. This is a strap of some other material, and it has in it some gold, weaved into it some gold, and avarim tovos, precious stones. So in this situation, one opinion says, Mar Savar Anischa Ikar, the gold part is the critical part. That's Rav's opinion. And therefore, you're going to come to show it to people and you're going to possibly carry Dal Amos versus Rav. And therefore, the rabbis will go and say, no, you can't. Well, Mar Savar, but Shmuel holds Aruksa Ikar. No, it's the material that's mostly of interest over here. There's some little gold in it and a little bit of precious stones, but nobody's going to take this off. And therefore, it's Mutter to carry it, to wear it on Shabbos. Fine, that's version one. Rav Ashi Masni Lakula. Rav Ashi had a more lenient version. In this version that we first had, Rav was Oser in both situations, and Shmuel was Oser in one and Matur in one. In the second version, Rav Ashi's version, Rav Ashi Masni Lakula, he says that Shmuel says it's okay in both situations, and even Rav says it's okay in one situation. What is that? In the Aruksa situation, the strap over here that has the gold and the precious stones in it, but it's not the ikker, the kuliyam alopligi, the shari. Even Rav would say you could go out with that because that's not the type of thing that people are going to take off and show to somebody. It's not that fancy. Keep ligi, where Rav and Shmuel argue, it was only danischa in this tass over here that is made out of gold. So then Rav says, Marasabar dumo shalfa, she's going to take it off, umachve, and show it to her friends, vasilasuya, dalalamos, and she's going to go carry it, dalalamos, because she'll forget. Umar Sover and Shmuel holds, Man Darko Lemefach Bechlila. Who goes out wearing such a fancy gold frontlet? Isha Chashuva, the Queen of England, a fancy woman. Isha Chashuva lo shalfo machvia. And the Queen of England doesn't take this off and show it to people. So therefore, Shmuel says that it's mutter. The Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Shmuel bar bar chana l'Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Yosef was the Rebbe, and Rashi points out that we are famous throughout the Gemara that we have that Rav Yosef got sick and forgot a lot of his learning, and often his Talmidim would remind him of what he said. So, Rav Shmuel bar bar chana says to his Rebbe Rav Yosef that in regards to this din, Beferish Amrislan, you don't remember Rebbe, but when you were sick, but when you before you were sick, you specifically taught us that Mishmei the Rav, in the name of Rav, that Kalila Shari, like the second version, that even Rav held that a Kalila under certain circumstances, when it's material that has some stones embedded in it, some gold embedded in it, even Rav said in that situation it's worth it to go out, like the second version, like Ravashi's version. The Gemara continues and tells us, Amrule L'Rav, the Talmidim told to Rav, Also, Gavur Rabba Aricha, a great person who's very tall, came Lenardoi Umikla, and he also is lame. He has a limp. The Dorash, and he paskind Klila Shari. He also holds like you and says the Klila is Shari. Now, Omar, Rav said to them, Man Gavur Rabba Aricha de Itla. Who could this person be? This tall, great person who also walks with a limp. The only one I know like that, Levi. It is the great sage Levi, who was the famous Bar Plukta with Avuah d'Shmuel, with Shmuel's father, right? So that's who this great person who came to Bavel is, and Rav deduced, Shema Minah, Noch Navshei, the Rebbe Ephes, the leader of Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish person, the great Rav there, the Av Beis Din, Rav Ephes, must have passed away. And that's why Levi came here now. Now Rashi explains what happened. So how did Rav deduce this? So this is Gemara in Ksubas, Rashi says, and Dibra Masla Noch Nafshei the Rav Ephes, Maseches Kuvos, over there in the Perek Hanose, and Daf Kuf Gimel Omid Beis, Amrina, it says there, the Chishachiv Rebbe, right before Rebbe passed away, he declared who would be the leaders after him. Amar Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama Yeshe Barosh. He declared that Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama would be the new Rosh Yeshiva. However, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama didn't want to accept the position. V'lo kibel olav Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. Why? Because there was another Talmud over there that was older than him. Shayo Rabbi Ephes, our Rabbi Ephes over here that Rab just said must have died. Rabbi Ephes was older than him. The Bach says shtei shanu umechtsa, 2.5 years, not 2 years. He was 2.5 years older than him. And the Yosef Rabbi Ephes bereisha, and therefore he allowed Rabbi Chanina bar Chama allowed Rabbi Ephes to go be the Rosh Hashiva. However, umitol shayu Rabbi Chanina chashuv, Rabbi Chanina was really greater than Rabbi Ephes, so lo nichlas lebeis medrasho. So he didn't go inside the beis medrash over there because it was pastish for him to go inside and be subordinate to the person that he was greater than, and he had been very magnanimous in letting Rabbi Ephes still be the Rosh Hashiva because he was older than him. In any event, so what did Rabbi Chanina bar Chama do? Vayayoshe b'chutz. He stayed outside and learned. He didn't want to not learn, but he didn't go inside and subordinate himself to Rabbi Ephes. Umishum kvodo, yoshev lo Levi etzdam. Now Levi, who was a chaver of Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, stayed outside. He also didn't go inside to Rabbi Ephes. In order to stay outside and learn Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, he should have a chavrusa. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Levi was actually punished for this because Levi was not as great as Rabbi Ephes and he should have gone inside. And the famous story in the Gemara in Brachos of Daf Yud Ches, where Levi didn't get to go into Shamayim for a 2.5 year period of time, that he, so to say, slighted the honor of Rabbi Ephes until Shmuel brought him into the Yeshiva Shomala. Fascinating story. Remind yourself there, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Ches on the base. In any event, Rav deduced over here that that's what must have happened. And we go back to the Gemara. He says, "Shmamino noch nafshe the Rebbe Ephes. It must be the Rebbe Ephes died. The Yosef Rebbe Chanina bereisha. Now Rebbe Chanina went inside to be the Rosh Hashiva. The lo havalei inish Levi lemesav gabei. And Levi was still outside. He had nobody to learn with. It must be the Bachetz v'kam v'kaasi lahacha. And he's coming here to learn by us. Now everybody asks, why didn't he go into the Beis Medrash and continue to learn with Rebbe Chanina? So the simple teretz is that he was the equal of Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, and he also didn't want to subordinate himself to Rabbi Chanina bar Chama and be, so to say, the second over there. So he had nobody else to stay outside with and learn, so therefore he went to Babel to learn by Rav. Now, the Ben Yoyada brings down a beautiful additional reason. He says, no, Levi didn't mind learning with Rabbi Chanina when they were outside, because if he angered Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, nishkeferlich. But if you were to learn with him inside when he was the Rosh Yeshiva and he got him angry, so then Rachmanu Litzlan, you're getting the Rosh Yeshiva angry, and therefore he didn't want to take that chance, and therefore he said, let me go look for somebody else to go learn by. So therefore, Rav deduced over here that this is all what happened, and Levi came here now to go and learn. So you more questions. This is all an aside to this whole din of Kalila that Levi Paskin, like Rav, that Kalila is Shari. Nur Gemara says, V'duma noch nashe de Rechanina. How did Rav know that Rabbi Ephes had died? Maybe Rabbi Chanina died. Rabbi Ephes, the Kai. And Rabbi Ephes was still the Rosh Hashiv inside. And Levi left because he didn't have Rabbi Chanina to learn with anymore. So Gemara says, the lo havale inish Levi, the base of Gabe, because he lacha. And therefore Levi had nobody to learn with. And now that's why Levi came here. Not that Rabbi Ephes died, but Rabbi Chanina died. Someone says, no, if that was the case, so the Rabbi Chanina shochiv, if in fact Rabbi Chanina had died, Levi, the Rabbi Ephes, nekaf havikaifle. Levi was subordinate to Rabbi Ephes. In fact, as I mentioned before, that's why the Gemara in Bracha said that Levi was punished for not going inside the period of time that Rabbi Ephes was the Rosh Hashiva. In any event, that's not what happened. Because in Isa, the Rabbi Chanina Shochiv, the Gemara says, if in fact Rabbi Chanina was the one that had died, Levi, the Rabbi Ephes, make of Hava, as I just said, Levi would have been subordinate to Rabbi Ephes, and Kayifle, he subordinated himself to him, and therefore he wouldn't have come to Babel to learn, he would have learned inside with Rabbi Ephes. Furthermore, if so, the Rabbi Chanina lo sagi de lo molech. In that situation, that if Rabbi Ephes was still alive and Rabbi Chanina had died, that wouldn't be possible. Why? Because the chihabin called nicha nafshe the Rebbe. Because as we started off, we mentioned in the Rashi, the Morning Subos, that tells us that when Rebbe was on his death, that he said, "Omar, Rabbi Chanina, the Rebbe Chama, Yosef Barosh, he's going to be the Rosh Hashiva." And uksibu, and it says about tzadikim. It says about tzadikim, the sigzar omer, a tzadik is goes or something, the yakum loch the gomer, it will definitely come true. So therefore, Rav deduced that if Rebbe said the Rabbi Chanina bar Chama was going to be the Rosh Hashiva, and now Levi is here, it must be because Rabbi Ephes had died, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama went inside to be Rosh Hashiva, and Levi came here to learn by us in Bavel.
In any event, now we get Darash Levi ben Ardai. Levi came and darshan Kalila Shari. He passed over here that you're allowed to wear this Kalila on Shabbos. And what happened? That Shabbos, Norfolk, Estrin, Yabba, Kalila, Mikula, Nardoi, all the women took out their Kalilas and they started to wear them now that it was permitted for them to do so. Similarly, Darash Rabba Baravua be Mechuzah. In Mechuzah, Rabba Baravua went and learned and said, Kalila Shari, that you're allowed to wear a Kalila. Now, Mechuzah is a very rich city, and the Nofku, Tamne, sorry, 18 Kalila Mechada Mevoa. In all of Nardai, there were 24. And here in just one shtad, in one little neighborhood of Mechuzah, 18 came out. So therefore, this then, when it became publicized, so the women started taking out their Kalilas and would wear them. I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav Shmuel. Kamra, this type of jewelry known as kamra, is shari. What is kamra? So Rashi tells us is avnet choshev, yesh osim oso tashel zov. It's some sort of a precious belt over here, that avnet, a belt that is a choshev, a belt that they had on it, some sort of gold, tashel zov. Some made it out of gold. Its belt was out of gold. And others say it was a belt that had on it mishbitzo zov v'avonim kvuzbo. It was a material that had gold woven into it and stones woven into it. This is exactly like we said with the Kalila, that we have the Yanitzcha and we have the Aruksa. So, therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel said that this Kamar Shari, Ika the Amre da Aruksa, some said he was referring to the Aruksa, and it was not referring to the Tas, that it was entirely of gold. It was only when it was in the material, the belt material, with some precious stones in it. Similarly, Yom Rav Safra, Midi Dehavi Atalis Muzebis. Rav Safra said that the reason why he allowed this, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel said this Kamri Shari, is because it's no different than wearing a talis, which is material, garment, Muzebis. It has some gold woven into it. So this belt that he allowed was the Aruksa type, which was a plain material that had some precious gold or stones inlaid in it. Others say, Vika the Amrei, no, the Aniska, it really was the Tas, it really was a belt of gold. And to explain that, sheet of Yom Safra, Midi, they have the Avnet Shal Melochim. This is like an Avnet of Melochim. The Avnet Melochim, Rashi says, Sha'asi Kulu the Niska, it's made purely out of gold. And V'chol Yisro B'nei Melochim Ruim Lo. All Klal Yisro is considered B'nei Melochim, and therefore, if they wish to wear this, they're allowed to go and wear this. They're not going to take it off. Amalei Ravina, Rav Ashi. What about the following situation, Ravina Yisro Rav Ashi? If you're wearing a kamra, this golden belt of some sort, ilave hemyono, on top of a regular belt. My, what's the din over here? Are you allowed to go do this or not? So Rav Ashi says, Omalei, Rav Ashi says, no, trei hemyone kamras, this is the preferred gear that Rashi has, that this is a rhetorical type of question. Two belts? Who would wear two belts? You're not allowed to wear two belts, and therefore, this would not be allowed. Tosus points out that you are allowed to wear two types of clothing. You can wear, let's say, a shirt, then a jacket, then an overcoat. That's not called carrying. That's not the equivalent of two belts over here, because they're different types of garments. So you could have a belt, let's say, around your jacket, and you can have a belt around an overcoat. That's not a problem. But two belts directly on the same garment, that is not allowed. Similarly, on Rav Ashi said another thing. Hi, Rasuka. What is Rasuka? So Rashi tells us, Chaticha Samil Rochva. This is some sort of a wide strip that goes around the body, a piece of material. It's maybe something like a corset. And he says, the Isle Mafruchiyasa Shri. If it has these little strings to it, Rashi says, Ritzuos Kitsaros, Teluyos Bo, that can be tying it into your garments, into your body, Lakosha Behem, or Lahatko Svivosa, that it will tie it around you and it won't fall off, then you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Vilo, but if it's not, doesn't have these little strings on it, so then it's a loose band around your body. It's not, it could easily fall off. Elo, Osir, you're not allowed to do this. As Rashi says, it's Shari, the Mahadik Shapir, when it's tightly bound to you. Katri, the Nofil of Osir, you don't have to be concerned that it's going to get untied and it's going to fall off and you're going to carry it Dalet Amos in Ushusa Rabbit. Then the Mishnah said, Veloba Katla, woman's not allowed to go out with a Katla, which we said is a choker of some sort. So my Katla, what exactly is this choker over here? So Gemara says, Minatka Pari, it goes and collects the crumbs. Tosus explains over here that this Pari is Piruria Pas, the Tachshitu. This was like it's unusual, it was like a bib that the women would wear, so they shouldn't get their beautiful blouses dirty, and this was made in a way that it shouldn't be like a bib, so they made it into a Tachshit. They made it into some sort of a necklace that was then hanging down from it, the bib part, and you're not allowed to go wear this on Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Nizomim, you're not allowed to go out with Nizomim. So the Gemara says, as we already pointed out in the Mishnah, Rashi said over there, Nizmeya'at. This is talking about a nose ring, because that people would easily take out. However, Rashi points out that earrings you don't easily take out, because they would wear some sort of a band over it, and therefore they are allowed to wear earrings. We had pointed out previously that you're allowed to go out with earrings, but you're not allowed to go out with these threads that go through your ears when they just pierced your ears, because those threads could easily be pulled out. That's not like the earrings. Okay. Gemara then says, "V'lo b'tabas she'en alel chosim." We don't allow a woman to go out with a ring, a tabas, that doesn't have a chosim. It's not a signet ring. So she can't go out with that. That implies that if it does have a signet ring, that it's an issur d'oraisa. As the Gemara says, "Ha'yesh alel chosim." If she does have a signet ring, then it's clearly a masui, and she'd be chayevis. That would be an issur d'oraisa. What do you see from here? Amo lav takshidu, that such a signet ring is not something that a woman normally wears. Rashi says that this signet ring was used mostly for business and by men who needed this, and women in those days didn't really have a need for this. So if a woman were to wear a signet ring, it wouldn't be a takshid, and therefore it would be a masri. Now, the Gemara questions this. Urminu, the Mishnah in Kalim, says otherwise. It says they're beferish. The jewelry, the ornaments of a woman are capable of kabul tuma. And what are such ornaments? The following are the jewelry of the woman, katlos, these chokers that we spoke about, nizomim. Now Rashi over here says that this is talking about earrings, nizmei ha'ozen. But later on the Brisa, we'll also say nizmei ha'af as well. But here it's talking about earrings. So this is considered, because now here we're not talking about carrying, here we're talking about that it's a takshit, and a takshit is like a kli, and it's makabul tuma. So the earrings are also makabul tuma. So that's the nizomim. The Mishnah continues with tabos, rings, and he says over here, this tabas, that this ring that we're talking about is bein sheyesh alel chosam, bein sheyin alel chosam. Ah, even though it doesn't have a chosam, it is considered over here an ornament for a woman. This is included in tachshite noshim, and that will be the question. We just said above that if it's not a signet ring, so then a woman can't go out to it on Shabbos because it's jewelry. But if it is a signet ring, it's an issur d'oraisa because it's not jewelry. But here we say it is jewelry, it is tachshite noshim, that would be the question. And we just finish off the braisa. It says, v'nizmeyaf, that this is also considered a tachshit, the nizmeyaf. So the bottom line is, it's a steer over here, our Mishnah, and this Mishnah in Kalim. So Gemara says, teretz number one. We'll only do teretz number one today. We'll have other terutzim tomorrow. Gemara says, teretz number one, it should be really Amar Rav Zeira, lo kasha. That's not a problem. There's two different opinions over here. One is the opinion of Rav Nechemiah, or Rav Nechemiah, or Rabbanon. Rav Nechemiah holds over here, like our Mishnah, that the signet ring is not considered a tachshit. And the Chachamim in the Mishnah and Kalim hold that a signet ring is considered a tachshit. Where do we find this? Machlokes, Titania. This is brought down in a Braisa. The Braisa says, if a signet ring can be made up of the ring part and the signet part, they can be different materials. So it says, he shall mateches, if the ring part is made up of metal, that's significant. The chosama shel almog, and the signet part is made up of wood. Now that's pshute kliyets. That's not going to be normally makabel tuma, but the ring part, which is metal, is makabel tuma. So which one is the ikker? So it says tmeya. We look at the ring part, the metal part, and it's tmeya. But the other way around, he shall almog, if the ring is made up of wood, which is pshute kliyets and would not be makabel tuma, v'chos v'shal mateches, and the signet part is made up of metal, so then tahora. Again, the Tanakam over here, which is the Chachamah's opinion, says that you look at the ring. That's the critical factor. Whatever the ring is made of will determine. If the ring is metal, it's makabel tuma. We don't care about the signet. If the ring is wood, it's not makabel tuma, because it's pshute kliyets, and it's not makabel tuma, and we don't care about the signet part. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. That's exactly what we brought down before from the Mishnah in Kalim. Now, Rav Nechemiah is a Tame. Rav Nechemiah says no, that he says the opposite. Tosfos points out, he says the opposite in both cases. He says you go by the signet. The signet is the determining factor. Shai Rav Nechemiah Omer, Bitabas, Holech Achar Chosmo. The signet is the determining factor. So if the signet is metal, it's Makabel Tuma. If the signet is wood, it's not Makabel Tuma. He says, similarly, in other situations, Ba'ol, this is talking about the yoke of an ox. In this situation, there's a contraption that used to have over here for the ox, Ba'ol, Holech Achar Simlona. Rashi explains over here that their oles were different than the time of Rashi, and basically, they had certain pegs in them. If those pegs were metal, so then the
yoke is makabel tumah. If the pegs were made out of wood, it's not makabel tumah. And similarly, in another contraption, a kolov, Rashi says this is kemin omud rochav milamata. It's some sort of a wide-based piece of material, maybe wood, that was wide at the bottom and narrow at the top, and they would put nails into it, and the sellers of certain products, for example, the sellers of belts and various leather straps, so they would go and put their wares up on this. So if the metal nails were used to put up the belt, so then it's makabel tumah. But kolov, in this contraption, this board over here, holech acha mismorosav, you go after the nails. So if the nails are metal, it's makabel tumah. Rav Nechemia Lushitaso, that the intrinsic value of whether it's a kli or not is dependent upon the important part of it. Besulam, in regards to a ladder, what's the most important part of the ladder? The rungs. Holech achar shlivosav. And ba'arsi, in a type of a scale, Rashi says, ba'arsa is moznayim gidolos lishko tsemer v'shaiva. Or nechoshes, you're using it as a balance scale to weigh out all sorts of things, wool or wax or copper. And this balance scale is made out of wood. But the chains over here, the holech achar shal shalosa, they're made out of metal. So then it's makabel tumah. The chachamim disagree. The chachamim hakol holech achar maimon. They say, no, you go after the base. Just like by the ring, you go after the ring part, not by the signet part. So in all of these things, Rav Nechemia said you go after the metal part, that's the main functionality of it, but not by the base. And the chachamim say you go by the base. Ah, this is the machlokis, Rav Nechemia and the chachamim. This is answer number one to the steer between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Kalim. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll give other Teirutzim. That concludes today's shir.